Dr. Balaga here. This podcast belongs to a series of 10 podcasts on obesity. It's derived from an outstanding chapter on obesity in Balaga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. After completing these 10 podcasts, you should be having a solid foundation in obesity. As you know, obesity is in 1/3 of US adults and is therefore an important area to have at one's fingertips. This outstanding chapter is authored by Dr. David W. Lam, MD, who is Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York. He's also the Associate Director of the Mount Sinai Diabetes Center. The senior author is Dr. Robert Yanagisawa, who is a Professor of Medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. He's the Program Director of Clinical Fellowship in Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism. He also directs the Mount Sinai Weight Management Program and has more than 15 years of experience taking care of obese patients. Multiple choice question. A 32-year-old morbidly obese patient has been on orlistat for the pharmacologic treatment of obesity. Which of the following is true about orlistat? A, they're at risk for valvular abnormalities. B, the most common side effect is heart palpitations. C, micronutrient supplementation should be considered. And D, orlistat only affects the absorption and digestion of fat. Medications are unaffected. And the answer is C, that is micronutrient supplementation should be considered. Orlistat is a drug which promotes weight loss by preventing the digestion and absorption of dietary fat. It is an intestinal lipase inhibitor. It can potentially affect the absorption of fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K. Therefore, some patients may require supplementation. It is recommended that patients taking a daily multivitamin while on orlistat. It has not been associated with cardiac valve abnormalities or heart palpitations. Orlistat can potentially affect levels of amiodarone, cyclosporin, levothyroxine, paracalcitol, propofenone, vitamin D analogs, and warfarin. The approach to obesity is lifestyle interventions, medications, and bariatric surgery. For a number of reasons, healthcare providers do not use weight loss medications to the extent that one might expect given the scale of the obesity pandemic. First, patients are often disappointed by moderate weight loss. Dissatisfaction with the results, coupled with the requirements to pay a substantial portion of the costs, may lead to short-term rather than long-term use. And moreover, some healthcare providers appear to have lingering concerns about medication safety and may be awaiting the outcome of FDA-mandated cardiovascular disease trials. Finally, weight regain is common after termination of drug therapy and is discouraging to patients and practitioners. Long-term use of weight loss medications, as approved by the FDA, may be necessary for long-term weight management, just as medications for high blood pressure, dyslipidemia, and type 2 diabetes. Micronutrient deficiencies are typically associated with bariatric interventions for obesity. Hot off the press, there's an article in June 9, 2020 JAMA Open Network. The article is titled Associations of Bariatric Interventions with Micronutrient and Endocrine Disturbances. The lead author is Nicholas L. Syn, S-Y-N. And the group is from Singapore. The study question was, are bariatric interventions associated with serum micronutrients and metabolic hormone changes the years after intervention, and do trajectories differ between laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy versus gastric bypass procedures? What did they find in this comparative effectiveness study of 499 patients who underwent sleeve gastrectomy and 189 patients who underwent one anastomosis or Roux-en-Y gastric bypass? Parameters associated with catch-up metabolism did not differ between the groups. The extent of hemoglobin suppression was greater among patients who underwent gastric bypass compared with those who underwent laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy. But the difference was not explained by differences in iron stores or vitamin B levels. What did they interpret? The findings of this study suggest that micronutrient deficiencies after bariatric interventions are differentially associated with the types of bariatric procedures. Procedures that achieve weight loss predominantly through restriction of meal accommodation capacity, known as restrictive procedures, are thought to be associated with milder micronutrient deficiencies that occur in tandem with reduced food intake. In contrast, interventions with a malabsorptive component, known as malabsorptive surgical procedures, are thought to be associated with profound and focal nutritional deficits and metabolic derangements, as they entail bypassing alimentary tract segments involved in the absorption of specific dietary nutrients. For example, the duodenum and proximal jejunum serve as critical absorption sites for trace elements such as zinc, copper, and calcium, and also contain free fatty acid receptors that modulate cholecystokinin secretion and hence affect absorption of fat-soluble vitamins such as A, D, E, and K. Long-term micronutrient deficiencies are likely associated with elevated incidence of osteoporotic fractures, secondary hyperparathyroidism, anemias, and other late sequelae of bariatric procedures. It must be remembered that anemia is the most prevalent nutritional complications of bariatric procedures, occurring in as many as 2/3 of the patient. And therefore, it's really important to monitor and appropriately treat such patients to prevent severe anemia. This series of 10 podcasts on obesity is derived from an outstanding chapter in Baliga's Textbook of Medicine on obesity. The book is available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It's authored by Dr. David W. Lam, MD, and Dr. Robert Yanagisawa, MD, both faculty endocrinologists at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. That's the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, New York. Dr. Lam is the Associate Program Director for Diabetes. And Dr. Yanagisawa is a Professor of Medicine and the Program Director of the Clinical Fellowship in Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism. He also directs the Mount Sinai Weight Management Program and has more than 15 years of experience in taking care of obese patients.